Mets fans, welcome back to Amazing Avenue Audio, the show. My name is Brian. With me, as always, is Chris. And we are here to discuss the minor news that has come out about opening day and the lockout, etc., etc. So Rob Manfred had a press conference today, and the big news out of it is that he is saying that spring training is not going to be delayed, that he feels confident that spring training and the regular season can start on time. Spring training is supposed to begin, checks calendar, next week. So that seems like an optimistic thing for Manfred to say. But do you have any confidence that this can actually get done in the next week to 10 days?
No. Nope.
All right. See you later, guys. Bye.
No, I'm kidding. Not at all. I mean, especially I think Trevor May, two-time podcast guest, once for a Cheez-It product that we didn't realize at the time of recording was subject to its own labor dispute.
Yes, yes, it was.
But that has been resolved in favor of that union.
Yes.
Yeah, but Trevor May, when we spoke to him that day, he understandably didn't want to unload on everything. But on Twitch recently, he did and just got into all the specifics. What he saw as not a good faith effort by Major League Baseball to work with the Players Association. Those videos are up. SNY shared some clips from it. So, you know, I would say seeking that out is a balance to listening to Manfred, you know, and what he said today is probably a good thing, just to get sort of a realistic firsthand or secondhand, maybe. You know, I don't know if Trevor May himself is in the negotiations, but certainly a player on that level who is outspoken about this sort of thing, I am sure, is getting updates from his teammate Max Scherzer, who is a major figure in the players' union
and his former teammate Michael Conforto.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. But we should go through
free agent Michael Conforto.
Yes, actually, maybe future teammate. Who knows? Yeah, it is wild how many free agents are still out there, by the way. This is going to be a crazy, crazy rush once the lockout's over. So we should talk about some of the things that Manfred said today, though, which is that both MLB and the MLBPA have agreed to a universal DH, which is pretty big news. You know, that's something the Players Association has wanted for a little while, and while many of us are probably down on that idea, I think the year of 2020 with having the DH has at least softened my resolve about that. Do you feel similarly?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't like it. I know that's an increasingly minority opinion among baseball fans. There was a point in time 10, 15 years ago where I was saying if that ever happened, I would stop watching baseball. So I've softened enough that it's not going to be that extreme.
Right. No, I agree. It's nothing I want in baseball. However, I think it was somewhat of an inevitability at this point. And so it is what it is, right?
And a point that our former robot overlord likes to make on the topic, although I don't know how much he watches sports anymore. Although, you know, hey, if he's listening to this podcast still, we appreciate it.
Hi, Eric.
But, you know, he kind of consistently made the point over the years that the whole system is set up to make pitchers bad hitters. You know, the rules in minor leagues, if an American League franchise is involved, or affiliate, sorry, is involved in any capacity in a game, there's DH. So, you know, right there, just by luck of the draw with the way minor league rotations and schedules work and weather happens, all that stuff, a pitcher could very well go through a season and maybe make five, ten plate appearances against an actual live opponent. You know, that's a fair point. I would have been fine with baseball eliminating the DH and having pitchers actually try to craft that skill, but I get the pragmatism of that approach.
Yeah, the only point that is salient to me besides what you just said is just the amount of pitcher injuries that tend to happen on the base pads or involving hitting somehow. And, you know, if it doesn't happen to your team, it doesn't seem like it happens often. But if you look across baseball, it's relatively common to have a player tweak a hamstring, something, because the pitchers aren't used to sprinting that way after they hit the ball, or they aren't used to their bodies moving in that way. So the lack of injury is a good thing. I still am going to miss pitchers hitting. A friend of mine texted me today, and we were talking about it, and I basically said that this eliminates any chance at a Bartolo at the bat moment again. And if you are a baseball fan and don't love the Bartolo Colon home run, I don't know what the fuck you're doing watching baseball. So, like, you know, that that's the bummer to me, is just eliminating all of those magical, weird moments, you know. Yeah. And it's
I guess the selfish approach to that specific home run is that nobody else is going to get that. That belongs to Mets fans.
That's true. Okay.
And Bartolo. And Bartolo, Gary yes. Cohen.
Of course.
But, yeah.
Yeah. I also always like when there's competition among the pitchers about their hitting. That's always fun to me, too. But, you know, you can't live in the past. If this is going to be the way forward, it's the way forward. Also, the elimination of a draft pick compensation for players who decline a qualifying offer, that's gone. So this basically will allow... It will allow teams to sign free agents without losing a pick, which will hopefully allow teams to sign more free agents is the goal. I think they're probably overstating how much of a deterrent the draft pick compensation was to the average team. But, you know, we're Mets fans. We know them to be cheap. This type of thing will help those franchises a little bit. So I don't have any strong opinions on that personally. Do you?
Not a strong one, I guess, but I definitely prefer not to have that in place. At least make teams come up with a more honest excuse for why they're not signing free agents.
Yeah.
There's
also going to be a draft lottery of some kind. They have not said what the draft lottery will be yet, but there will be a draft lottery. I don't know how I feel about that, just because I don't know what kind of lottery it's going to be. This is kind of like saying, we're going on vacation, but you don't know where you're going. So.
Right.
Once we have a plot there, I'd be open to that, obviously. And then they are saying Manfred is saying that they're not going to miss any games, even if opening day is delayed. They're going to try to get extra games in. There will maybe be changes to the competitive balance tax. And luxury tax thresholds, all of that, specifically with the penalties, but that was not discussed in any sort of specifics. They're meeting again on Saturday, and Manfred believes this will be that they have a good faith proposal on the table. And the last bit of news that came from it is just that Manfred admitted to a contentious relationship with Tony Clark, and I don't really know if admitting that changes anything. I think it's kind of shocking for a guy who basically is an empty suit who says nothing. I think it's kind of funny that he actually admitted on record to a bad relationship with the head of the union. But I don't know if that actually changes negotiations in any way.
Right. Yeah, no. I think my favorite part was somebody asked him if buying a Major League Baseball team was a good investment. And he downplayed it to the point of, like, it's worse than buying stock on the stock market. Which is
insane. Yes.
Like, how much money did the Wilpons put into the Mets before they sold them for $2.3 or $4 billion? You know, it wasn't anywhere near that. I don't even think during the the high times of the Madoff era, before the Madoff collapse, I don't even think then they were making returns that would compare with the return they got on owning the Mets.
Correct.
But yeah, sure, Rob. It's just like the stock market. He said it was like the stock market, but with more risk. Like, I know he's paid to go up there and say things like that, but, and I know he has no trouble sleeping at night. But I just can't imagine going up there and saying that with a straight face. I guess that's a skill.
I guess so. what a ridiculous take, though. that guy is pretty bad at his job, and will continue to do it probably for a very long time.
Yeah, that is, I think, generally how it goes in baseball in particular, and probably other places too. But
yep, yeah. If you can get that job, you can hold on to that job for a nice long time. So, I guess before we close the book on this, at what point do you start to worry about a season not starting on time?
I think I'm already there. I guess, you know, his attempt to try to make an optimistic version of events that's about to happen is that they'll come to an agreement this weekend and they can have a spring training game schedule start on time. Whether or not that's a wise thing to do when the players haven't actually gotten there and started doing some of their workouts and building up and all that fun stuff. I don't know, but I highly doubt that those games are going to start on time in spring training. If spring training games are only delayed by a week or two, I would think opening day happens on time, because, you know, there's a lot more money in that than there is in spring training. But who knows? It hasn't even been that long since the lockout started, but I feel so detached from baseball.
My daughter asked me the other day. She said, "When do the Mets start games again?" And I said, "You know, I don't know, but it feels like it's been a year since I've seen a Mets game."
Yeah.
It really, I am as checked out on baseball as I have been in some time, and that is entirely the fault of Major League Baseball. I want to also remind people that this is the owners locking the players out, that they don't even need a new CBA agreement to end the lockout. They can just play this season under the old CBA rules. Now, I don't know if the Players Association would agree to that or not, but this move is the owners doing this. Don't let their bullshit come through and say that, no, this is the greedy players. No, this is the greedy owners. And do not forget that, listeners.
Right. And people often conflate strike and lockout, and they are two very different things.
Yes, they are.
But, you know, just and ownership has been very successful at getting people to be, you know, angry at the players for making a lot of money, and framing things in that kind of a way that even when they are the ones deciding not to allow any activity to happen, people still refer to it as a strike, which it is not.
Yep. We should also note that the average Major League Baseball salary has gotten down in the last couple of years, not by a crazy amount, but I think it's like 1.5 or 2% a year. The average salary has gone down. And so any argument about that the players make so much money, it's hard to make money selling baseball tickets, that is also, frankly, bullshit. And you should be very aware of just how dumb that statement is.
Yeah.
Everyone listening to this has likely been to a Major League Baseball game. You have likely paid $8 to $12 for a beer, or, you know, probably a similar amount for a hot dog. You have paid $25 to park there. You have been feeding the teat of the owners for years just by consuming basic things at a ballpark. It is unfathomable to think that the reason that all those things happen is because the owners have to pay the players. None of that is true. They are just greedy, greedy people who want more and more and more and more and more. Do not fall for it. In case you can't tell, this podcast sides with labor.
The big game is almost here, and your team probably isn't part of it. But that doesn't mean you have to miss out on the fun. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers 56-1 odds on either team. That's right, just bet $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. DraftKings Sportsbook just went live in New York, meaning you can bet from almost a third of the country. And if sports betting still isn't allowed in your state, play DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest for Super Bowl 56. New customers can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the promo code SBNation, and get 56-1 odds on either team. Bet just $5 and get 280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code SBNation at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56. 21 and over, minimum age and location requirements vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for a full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the TN Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
So the one thing the Mets announced, if we want to make the segue, in the context of I don't want to promote things. So the Amazing Avenue account, tweeted sarcastically about this news, that the Mets announced an Old Timers Day mm-hmm. for this season. The sarcastic tweet was, "Will any current Mets be playing that day?" Valid question, in my opinion. But that's like the one thing that's come up, and I think the one of the biggest takeaways from it was that everybody saw that Daniel Murphy was considered an old timer.
Yes,
and the Mets are attempting to make all of us feel old.
Yep, Daniel Murphy, who is 3 years younger than I am, is an old timer. Apparently, he's 36 years old. Son of a bitch. In general, I am in support of this, though.
Yeah, I mean, assuming that, I don't think the whole season is going to be canceled by any means. So assuming that there's actual baseball going on and there's a game to have an old timer
component
date
too, yes.
before. it's a cool thing. I don't know that it would be like a top priority for me to go to it, but I think it's a nice thing to have that option. The names they've announced as participating in some way, shape, or form range from an original Met and the original Frank Thomas down to, younger than the average fan, Daniel Murphy.
Right. Did you notice whose name was noticeably absent from that list?
I know people had pointed out no David Wright.
Correct. That's what I was thinking of, yes.
So, yeah. Who knows? I mean, I could see him showing up and in some capacity and not playing.
You make him the manager of one of the teams.
Yeah.
You make Frank Thomas and David Wright the managers.
I know he's coaching Little League and living in California and all that. Sounds nice, but I'm sure they could get him on a plane and convince him to make an appearance.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been as surprised if they limited it to like folks who retired, before 2010 or something like that, to then not have Wright included. But if you have Murphy there and don't have Wright there, that feels like an imbalance of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, get Ike Davis and Lucas Duda to come back. They can be the dueling first baseman.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who is the player that is retired that you think, and obviously you, like Murphy or someone like Murphy is the obvious answer to this because of they were playing, baseball relatively recently. But who do you think is going to come back in the best shape? Who's going to be in the best shape of their life for the old timers game?
So, I mean, if we're looking at names that they've confirmed.
Piazza said he's going to be there, too. He said he wants to be there.
Yeah. I would say I'm going to go with Andy Chavez.
That's a strong pick. I was going to say I feel like Turk Wendell he might not look like he's in the best shape of his life, but I feel like he could still throw about as well as he did then.
Possibly.
He seems like a guy who could still probably be be able to throw like a wipeout slider or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if they can get Julio Franco to join,
that's really old.
I would change my answer.
Yeah, exactly.
He was still playing professionally fairly recently, right?
Yeah. I remember he was pissed off when the Mets released him back in, what was that, 07? Somewhere in that ballpark, and he said he wanted to keep playing, but I believe that was the end of his major league career. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. So 07, the Mets, he played a handful of games with the Braves.
Oh, yes. Yes, he went to the Braves after that. Yes.
Played some in Mexico in 2008, and now this is a recurring theme that's going to come back on our music recommendations. My thought that, like, oh, yeah, he played some kind of professional baseball. He played an independent ball in 2014. So almost 8 years ago, at the age of 55.
Oh, he played a year later, too.
Oh, okay. All right.
In 2015, he was going to be the player manager for an independent Japanese baseball team, and he didn't think he'd appear often, but 14 games into the season, he had played in 10 games.
Nice. Hey, I love it. I feel, so he's 63 now. And if, you know, if they're going to play actual baseball out there, I feel like he'd have a shot at a pretty good day. I know he was a very minor Met in the grand scheme of things, so probably not somebody you bring back, but somebody who would definitely fit the occasion.
Oh, look, I mean, to me, this is not about, I mean, yes, if Piazza and Wright are there, that feels more legitimate. I would love Kuzman to be a pitching coach. You know, bring back everybody who wants to be there. But this is also a perfect opportunity to bring back your favorite fringe Mets. I know he's managing in Japan this year, but I want to see Tsuyoshi Shinjo there. You know, I want to see Xavier Nady show up at this. You know, just the more minor the Met, the better for this. Because here's the thing: the folks that are going to old timers game are not casual fans. They're sickos like you and me.
Right,
you know, we are really into these random older guys. Like, let's just placate me.
Right,
you know.
Yeah, Bernard Gilkey, see what he's up to.
Absolutely, Mike Jacobs, two-time Met, bring him back. You know.
Oh yeah, you know, Carlos Delgado.
Yeah.
I bet he could hit a home run still.
Oh, I absolutely. not even a question about that. Yeah. Do they have the balls to bring back Beltran?
Probably not.
Yeah.
But it would be great if they did.
Absolutely. They should try and bring back the entirety of the 06 team, except for Jose Reyes, for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it's a good thing they haven't announced Jose Reyes for this. Let's end on that note.
Speaking of notes, I'm making two segues here today. Are okay. We ready for music, Steph?
Sure.
So
you are the king of the segue of today, my friend.
Hey, I guess not podcasting for like a month.
Yeah, exactly. You're raring to go now.
So a friend of mine, and if he's listening, and he said he's a regular listener, I didn't know he listened to the show, but had said he had gotten into Parquet Courts via some of the recommendations that I've made on the show, so that was cool to hear. If he's listening to this episode, I had reached out. He plays jazz himself. He knows far more about jazz than I do. And I had reached out about a show that was going on at the Village Vanguard last week that I ultimately didn't make it to, so I feel bad. I asked, is this a must-see show? He said yes, and then I didn't make it to the show, so I apologize for that. But inspired by getting that real life feedback that somebody out there is actually listening to these music recommendations, I am recommending an album by officially the artist is Ben Goldberg. And the album is called Unfold Ordinary Mind. Included on the album is Nels Klein, guitarist whose music I have recommended in several ways on this show. Obviously his work in Wilco is how I got to know him, but you know, the Mike Watt record I recommended not too long ago has Nels on guitar. So this is a record that has a cool setup in the way it's unique. So Nels on guitar, Ben Goldberg is playing a contra alto clarinet, which is a very low pitch instruments. He's basically playing bass on that clarinet, and then two trumpets, not trumpets, two saxophones, and a drummer. So, five-piece band, and I happened to be exposed to that music because The Stone, a tiny venue that has since moved into a space at the New School, but it used to be over on, I think it was First and Avenue A-ish, somewhere around there. It was very bare bones, no bar, no anything. It was just seats and a stage, and you paid cash at the door. No frills, just great music. So Nels was doing a residency there, and this was the show that happened there. So the music is great. It's a combination of intense and relaxing that not too many other albums that I've listened to can accomplish. So that's cool because it can fit either one of those. You know, if you have that need for that type of music, and I don't know, I'm always impressed by that. And my favorite thing about it is the way that I got the record was on CD, and like I handed somebody money and wrote down my address and then forgot I ever did that. And then like 3 or 4 months later, when the record actually came out and they you know, produced the CDs, it showed up in my mailbox. And that was all back in 2012, 13. So can't believe the album's that old, but it's really good. You can get it on Bandcamp. If you're going to do that, you can always wait until the next Bandcamp Friday. Set a little reminder for yourself. The artist gets the whole cut. Bandcamp takes nothing on the first Friday of each month, something that started during the pandemic. And they phased it out late last year, I think, but then they brought it back the other day. They had one, and then at least March, April, and May, the first Friday of the month, they're bringing it back. So it's a good way to get music. Certainly better than any streaming service in terms of supporting the artist.
Absolutely.
And you know, you're talking some really good musicians who, you know, I don't know too much about their lives, but they're not like mega rock stars pulling in millions of dollars for the music they're making. So.
Right. These folks are making music for the love of it and hopefully scraping by an income, like a just income to live on. But who knows with a lot of these musicians, unfortunately. So I have not heard that record. I'm very excited to check it out. So this pick is sort of an elegy for Spotify, which I think I'm going to be not using anymore. If you don't know why, read the news. And also because it pays artists poorly, and I'm trying to find something that pays artists a little bit better. But Spotify has a feature called Discover Weekly where it sort of takes your tastes and it spits out a playlist of stuff that they think is new to you. And I have been shocked, like downright shocked, how well the algorithm gets me at times. And it puts stuff out there that I would never have thought it could have concluded about me. Like, it's one thing if you're listening to a lot of albums by, you know, by Wilco and they recommend a Jeff Tweedy solo album, right? That makes total sense as to why that's out there. But sometimes they just put the stuff in there that I don't know how they have calculated that I would like it, but I do. And this week I found a record that has been playing nonstop in my house. It is a self-titled album credited to a group called The Wild, I don't know if I can pronounce this right, The Wild Chapatulas, The Wild Chapatulas. It is a record that was made in 1976, and it's an album made in New Orleans by people who were members of the Wild Chapatulas tribe, which is not actually a Native American tribe. It is a Mardi Gras tribe, which is, I don't quite understand all of it, but it's basically people who dress up for Mardi Gras and who play music and who wear like, you know, sort of native outfits for Mardi Gras. But The record is, the band on it is made up of the Meters, the classic New Orleans funk band, as well as all four Neville brothers, who are an equally important sort of New Orleans funk band. And this is the funkiest shit you have ever heard. It is incredibly fun and smooth. The Neville brothers' harmonies on it are so, so smooth and great. And it very much feels like a party, and it very much feels like there's lots of themes and words and melodies that pop up throughout all the tracks on the album. It is not a super diverse album. But it's an album that absolutely knows what it's trying to be and can be that thing really, really well, like incredibly well. It is the most fun I've had with an album in a very long time. Specifically, the second track on the album, Meet the Boys on the Battlefront, is I don't know how you can listen to that and not be like moving your feet to the music. It is produced by Alan Toussaint, who is a New Orleans legend as well. The only New Orleans musician I can think of that isn't on this is Dr. John, who I love, sorry, Dr. John, I guess, and sorry, the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, they're not on this either. But it's a really, really enjoyable and loose and fun record that I cannot stop listening to. And it's been so cold, not the last couple of days, but this month it's been so cold. I've been listening to this album a lot and warming my heart by through its grooves. It's just excellent. So I'm going to try to pronounce this again correctly. The Wild Chapatulas. Self-titled record. It's on all your major streaming services, so check it out.
Nice.
Yeah, that just about does it for our show, though, right? This is a short little episode, but it's good to be back a little bit. I hope we're back with actual news soon, but who knows?
Yeah, no, it'd be nice to just think about, talk about, debate whatever roster moves the Mets should make. We've held off on it on the site because it's not that we're taking a stance or anything, but it just feels weird to write about, even though you and I certainly support the players' efforts here. It just feels weird to write about roster moves when they're not possible to do.
Right. Right. It almost feels like the more we talk about baseball like it's normal, the more we're normalizing the behavior of ownership, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I want this to feel like I want this to feel like what it is. You know, it's a lockout and it sucks, but we also can't, we can't get ourselves too worked up about it because it could all change tomorrow. So hopefully it does change tomorrow and the players get everything they want and we are able to move forward and the Mets can maybe sign some more players, make a trade or two. I don't know. Make it fun for us, Mets, please.
Yeah.
Anyway, until then, you can get the basic news and notes over at, amazingavenue.com. Hopefully we have more to report on soon, as we said, but until then, we're still doing Mets Morning News. We still have some podcasts. So there is some stuff going on and we hope you check it out. We hope you enjoy it. In lieu of watching baseball, make sure you're listening to all of our Mason Avenue podcasts. Our friends over at From Complex to Queens have now wrapped up their prospect list. That's the word.
Top 25 prospects. Yes.
Yeah, top 25 prospects. List. Thank you. But they are plugging along. A pod of their own is coming out every other week. Our friend Rob Wolf had a death in the family, but he should be back soon with more Unformatable. And we hope that you are sticking with us because we are probably equally as frustrated at the lack of baseball as you are. So hopefully we can all get through this together. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get this podcast. We would love to see some more reviews. We haven't done a thing in a while with asking for reviews. So here I am asking for some reviews. Review the podcast, folks. It helps us. You can follow Chris on Twitter @ChrisMcShane. You can follow me on Twitter @BrianXNapp. And until next time, let's go.